Amen. Thank you, Matt, Blake, and William for leading us in worship this morning. Today we're going to be back in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9, but we're also going to be in Genesis 12 through 17. And I'll try to tell you every time I quote one of those verses, a lot of it will be in your notes, but you could write down real quick if you want to go back and read all this stuff that I've told you about from Genesis. You can do that as well. Today we're going to be talking specifically, Paul points back to Abraham, the father of the Jews, while he's talking with these Judaizers about their beliefs versus being saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? So Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6, Paul says, "Even so, Abraham, way back here, believed God, and it was credited or reckoned to him as righteousness." He's quoting, whenever you see all caps in the New American Standard, it's quoting the Old Testament. So he's quoting Genesis 15:6 here. Verse 7, "Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel," meaning God's message of salvation, "beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed in you." Genesis 12, 3. "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." Now, you may remember that the Judaizers, or what Paul also refers to as these false teachers, they argued that it's important for you to have faith, but you must also obey the law just like the Jews obey the law to remain in good standing before God. Put another way, faith in God is important, but you must also live like the Jews live to keep God's favor, and that as at the very heart is what you and I call legalism. Not only do you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you have to live like I live and believe like I say you need to believe and do as I do to keep favor with God. Okay? And that leads us to point number one in our notes this morning. The legalist says that it's critical that you have faith in Christ, but you must also live like they live to remain acceptable to God. Write that in your notes this morning. In other words, you must believe like they believe and do like they do to be okay with God. Yet Paul does something that's brilliant here. He takes them back to 400 years before the law was given to Moses and the Jews. In fact, Paul goes all the way back to the father of the Jews, the first Jew. He references Abraham, the founder of the Hebrew people, and he says this in verse 6. "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." And so Paul pointed out that righteousness through faith, apart from the law, came first. In other words, Abraham was justified before circumcision, way before Moses, and way before the law was ever given to the Jewish people. Put another way, the founder of the Jews was given right standing with God because the Bible says he believed God concerning the promise that God had made to him that he would make Abraham's descendants into a great nation, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So Paul says, consider Abraham, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so the very first Jew, the father of the Jewish people, was justified by faith and not by keeping the law. In fact, the actual Greek term logos that's used here in verse 6 is translated credited. Now listen to this closely. It's translated credited, which means to bestow favor or give status to an individual that did not previously possess it. Put another way, Abraham had done nothing to earn this righteous standing with God. God gave it to him. He gave him that status or that position, if you will, because he believed God, which points us to point number two this morning. Number one, the legalist says it's critical that you have faith in Christ, but you must also believe exactly how they believe and live exactly how they live to remain acceptable to God. Number two, because of God's love and by his grace, God reached down to an unrighteous Abraham and credited righteousness to his status, to his account, to his position because of his faith, because he believed God. Now, some people say that, and this is super important to understand right here. Some people say that Abraham's faith was an act of obedience that earned him favor with God, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says his faith was credited to him as righteousness. And there's a huge difference here because credited indicates a righteousness that was given even though it wasn't earned or deserved. One commentator writes, if we compare other verses in which this same grammatical construction is used, as in Genesis 15:6, we arrive at the conclusion that the crediting of Abraham's faith as righteousness means to account or credit him a righteousness that does not inherently belong to him. Another commentator says, and this is in your notes, the day came in the accounting of God, ungodly Abraham was suddenly declared righteous. There was nothing in Abraham that caused the action. It began in God and went out to the man by sovereign grace. Upon a sinner, the righteousness of God was placed. Amen. And this is huge for us because, listen to me, it proves that it's possible because of God's love, mercy, and grace to be fully accepted by him even though we're still sinful. Just like Abraham, we too can have a righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen to this very closely. Don't miss anything I'm telling you right now. Just like Abraham, we too can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to our account because we believe the gospel, because we believe the message of God's salvation, because we believe in the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, that he is God with us, the Bible says, that he is God in the flesh, the Bible says, and that he died on the cross, took all of our sins, the Bible says, upon himself on the cross, died in our place. And so our sinfulness, while Jesus was on the cross, was transferred to Christ, and his righteousness, when we believe in him, is transferred to us. Amen? And so that's critical for us to understand. Point number three. God declares believers justified and frees them from condemnation even though they are still unrighteous in their hearts. God declares believers justified and frees them from condemnation even though they are still unrighteous in their hearts. Put another way, God declares believers righteous, positionally speaking, before him, and frees them from the law's condemnation, even though, listen, they are still unrighteous, practically speaking. We still have a ways to go. Amen? And so, they didn't get cleaned up first and then come to Christ. They believed in Christ, and then God, listen, don't miss this. This is huge. God credited the righteousness of his one and only Son, one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, to their accounts because they believed in God's Son and God's Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for for those who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul points out in verse 8 that God had already planned the Gentiles' future salvation back in Genesis chapter 12. When the gospel of righteousness, verse 3 of Genesis 12 says, the gospel of righteousness by faith was preached beforehand to Abraham when God told him, all nations will be blessed in you. And then Paul explains in verse 7, and I love this, that Jews and Gentiles alike, who, listen to this, who are of faith, are all sons of Abraham. So the first Jew was not justified by keeping the law, but by faith. And therefore, those who are declared righteous or justified by faith are all sons of Abraham, who is the father of faith. And then in verse 9, Paul declares, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. So this begs the question, man, this is going fast. Y'all are going to be out of here in 5 minutes. This begs the question, what does it mean to believe God? What does it really mean to believe God? Because Paul states in verse 7, those who believe are children of Abraham, and in verse 9, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham. So what does it mean to believe God? What does it mean to have faith in God? Point number 4. Saving faith doesn't just believe in God or in his existence. Saving faith puts its faith or trust in the gospel, meaning the person and the work of Jesus Christ for salvation and the free gift of eternal life. In other words, listen to this very closely. You can believe in God, in his existence, and still lack saving faith. Because the Bible says even the demons believe in God. In fact, the Bible says in James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Saving faith involves believing in God, but it also involves believing God. Taking God at his word to the point that you trust him with your life and with your future. Saving faith involves putting your faith in God's grace and in his one and only Son, his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, to deliver you from your sins and free you from condemnation. You see, Abraham had to believe in God, and he had to trust in God's gospel message for salvation. Then the righteousness of Christ Jesus was credited to his account, even though he was still a sinner. Put another way, because he believed God, this is an amazing truth. This is why this is called the good news right here. Because he believed God, he became a saint, positionally speaking, his standing before God, even though he was still a sinner, practically speaking. Even though, like you and I, we get saved, but we still have to grow up, right? We're not there yet. There's a sanctification process in which we grow up into spiritual maturity. But Abraham had to believe in, and I want you to hear this because this is super important for our lives in a super practical way. Abraham had to believe in God's provision in more ways than one. You see, when God made this promise to Abraham, he was an old man. And his wife was an old woman. In fact, she had been barren her entire life, unable to have children for her entire life. And when God approaches Abraham and makes this promise to Abraham, he's 100 years old. And Sarah's 90 years old. And it was at that moment that God promised that she would be the mother of nations, Genesis 17:16. In fact, God promised that his reward would be very great, and that, listen to this one, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. In Genesis 15:6, then Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him. He took God at his word, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham was greatly rewarded and blessed because he believed God. Abraham took God at his word, and he believed that God would do what he promised to do. And secondly, he believed that God could do the impossible. What's going on in your life right now that you think's impossible? I can name one. I'm not, but I could name one right now that a lot of people think is impossible because they talk to me about it. But Abraham believed that God could do the impossible. And he was greatly rewarded because he had faith. So what about you? You say you believe in God, but do you believe God? Do you take God at his word? Because even the demons believe in God. They believe in God's existence, but they don't believe God. They don't trust God like Abraham did. Abraham entrusted his life to God. And he followed the Lord's instructions all his life, and he was greatly rewarded. So let me ask you a few questions in closing this morning. Do you take God at his word and believe that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself? That's what the Bible clearly teaches. Yet there's a new teaching now that says, no, you're not a sinner. That's a bad old teaching that you don't need to listen to that lie anymore. Well, them dudes ain't reading the Bible, I guarantee you. I'm fixing to show you here from the scripture here in a second. But do you take God at his word and believe that you're a sinner and that you have no way of saving yourself and having eternal life unless you put your faith in God's one and only Son and God's one and only Savior, Jesus Christ? There is no other way to the Father, the Bible says, except through Jesus Christ. So I understand that you believe in God, but do you believe God? Do you believe that your sin separates you for eternity from God because he's holy, meaning he's completely separated from all sin? Praise God. I don't want to go to heaven and it be like earth, right? I want to go to heaven and it be completely like God. Amen. Holy and done with sin, done with the mess. Do you believe in God's Savior, Jesus Christ, for your salvation? Do you believe that he is the only way? The Bible clearly states that he is the only way to have salvation, to have eternal life, to have your sins forgiven. Do you believe and put your trust in Jesus Christ? And here's the final question. Do you trust God with your life? Or did you say a prayer when you were 9, like I did, and then move on and live your life according to the way you see fit? Man, I tell you what, my daughter is named Becky for a reason. My Aunt Becky grabbed me when I was 18 years old and said, Chris, are you a Christian? And I said, well, of course I'm a Christian. And she said, how come I don't see any evidence in your life? And I went, whoa. And now here's the deal. Aunt Becky was the sweetest, most loving person on the planet. I didn't feel like she was running around judging me and all that kind of mess, but she grew up because my grandmother died so young, and my mom was 12 years older than her youngest sister, Becky. Becky spent summers with us every year growing up. And so I became very, very close to her, and she had that relationship with me. And when I was 18 years old, I went from believing in God to believing God. And I entrusted my entire life, my future, here and now and in eternity. I didn't just say another prayer and then walk off and do what I felt like I wanted to do. I started seeking God. My parents turned right around, and I know a lot of y'all don't like this, but they bought me a Living Bible. And I started reading it every day because I could understand it, and I grew like a weed in my walk with God. And by the time I was in college, I was witnessing to my friends and sharing Jesus Christ with my friends. So, do you trust God with your life? It's easy to say a prayer and say, God, I have no control over eternal life, so I'm going to place that in your hands, but I'm going to keep all the rest of this life for me, and I'm going to keep living it the way I want to live it. I invite you to listen to God's word and believe. Take him at his word. The Bible says in Romans 3, 22 through 24, you can read right along with me in your notes. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned. How many of us have sinned? For all have sinned. And listen to this. Fall short of the glory of God. In other words, our sin has separated us from the glorious presence of God. And yet, verse 24, we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption. In other words, Jesus had to pay the price with his own blood to buy us back. That's what the word redemption means. And so we are justified freely if we believe God and believe in his only son, Jesus Christ, by his grace, meaning God did something for you you could never do for yourself, through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. In other words, we are justified freely, let's say it again, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? And then Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 is just a great passage. There's 100 of them, but this is one good passage about, do you trust God with your life in the here and now? As well as just saying a prayer to get you into heaven one day. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Be done with leaning on your own thinking and your own understanding once you start trusting in Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and leave your own understanding back here. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If you're wag for you right there, right off the bat. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Will you join me this morning?